Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. It's a beautiful Friday. It's a burning beautiful Friday. It's kind of hot out there today, man.
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
I will not complain about the heat. I love the heat. The show brings the heat. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth.
My
Sorry,
people.
Crowd. Listen, I tried to get him out of here. I didn't want him to work up too much energy. It's hot outside. Hey, y'all, go home. Just go home.
They're all heading to Panama City.
They know you're on the verge of going on vacation. Yeah. They wanted to make one last strong showing. So thank you, people. Thank you. Now you can take a vacation because we won't be having your yet necessary yelling when Steve's gone.
Have you thought about how bad your show is going to be next week?
Yes, I have.
It's going to be awful.
No, listen. I put out a word. I put out a bat signal that, you know, next week I'm going to have so many like guest hosts. It's going to be like
You need a guest every day. Get you through.
It's going to be like tryouts or something like that.
I mean, bring them in. Say, knock them down. Get sweet entrances.
Listen, you're the only other person I know that likes to see somebody else try. Just like, come on in here. Let me hand you your tail when you get out of here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you suck.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Like, yeah, great.
Yeah, Marcus, just calling you from Panama City Beach. Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah. Hey, your boy's pathetic.
See you later. Brian Hall in the booth. Brian, what's going on?
It's a Friday. I'm loving it. And, you know, we got a lot of things going on, you know, today and yesterday with ACC Media Day. So a lot to talk about. So I'm excited.
As a producer, what has it been like? Has it been your busiest time of the year because you have to have so many interviews cut and clipped and replayed and ready to go?
I was actually telling everybody yesterday might have been my toughest day on the job I've had so far.
Is this the woe is me moment? Think about what Brian's doing right now. See what I'm saying, Brian?
Yeah.
We get the, oh, you guys just talk sports all day on the radio. You just do nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Sometimes we like to say, no, my job's really hard. Sometimes, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
It's pretty cool. How often do you just admit publicly, Steve, that sometimes it's pretty easy?
People are blown away when I tell them, when I'll take pictures and people realize that me and you come in here, you have a yellow notepad with a few things you wrote down a few minutes ago.
Right.
And we just go. Like, we've been in the presence of other radio hosts
that makes them mad.
Have watched us and almost been like, they're not pulling out any material. Like, we're just going.
But
it's 10 o'clock. Let's roll.
You know what? That's talent and that's being psychotics, right?
A little bit,
because we are consistently writing the show as soon as we leave the show.
No, that's true.
Like,
see?
Like, we can write a show. Look at our text messages over the last 24 hours. And that's a week worth of show material.
Yeah.
And we just pull out, what do we remember from yesterday's conversation that makes the show today?
Because I pulled a little bit of a Marcus last night. It was like 11:30, almost midnight. And I was like, man, Lonzo Ball. Hey, you're going to tell me I'm right that Lonzo Ball is killing everybody
I'm
in
right,
the
right?
league?
I'm right, Marcus. Hey. Right? What are you doing? You're not asleep.
Yeah.
No, I really.
I know, and that is true. And that's a good way to put it. I never really thought about it like that. But, I mean, we probably more than anybody, we really have – the midday show never ends with us.
No, right. I guarantee, you know, between Twitter, between the text line, between, you know, all our multiple aspects, this is a 24-hour radio show.
Yeah.
It's in public when we're out and about and we get the conversation. I mean, we're welcoming. Sit down. Let's do a show here in the middle of whatever establishment or restaurant you're at. So, yeah, our text message is definitely a 24-hour show.
And speaking of that, since somebody had said something to us outside a restaurant one time about it, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Valvano for bringing me a stylist that actually isn't crap. So thank you, Mr. Valvano.
For people who don't know, Steve Rummage is accusing my gift, my unprompted gift, of a stylist slash flashlight / ink pen that I decided that Steve...
No, you kept the one with the pen. Let's just clear that up. Mine's not a pen.
Yours isn't a pen?
Don't act like you don't know. What?
No.
No way.
Okay. Steve.
I had no idea.
I had no idea yours wasn't a pen. But I'll take this a step further, Steve.
Yeah.
Think about how selfish it would have... For people who don't know, Bob Valvano brought us a gift bag. And, you know,
it's straight
from Bristol, ESPN quality, you know, office tools, right?
Yeah.
And Steve you know, kind of reached for a stylist, and I kind of reached for a stylist too. And then I saw a all black ESPN or black and chrome ESPN pen.
He did.
Which I didn't realize it was a stylist pen, but then when I saw it was a stylist slash pen, I went for it quick.
Well, let's tell the story in full context. You picked up the blue one. And then
I may have picked up the blue one originally.
When I said, oh, yeah, I'll take a stylist, Mr. Valvano, and go to reach for the black one.
No.
Marcus drops the blue one.
I don't know about
picks
that,
picks up
Steve.
The black one and leaves me with the blue one.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate, Steve.
I do. It's funny how you forgot that in less than 24 hours. But
I must
I do.
Have misremembered. But no. Okay, Steve, you just identified our studio situation. Pen would go to the guy who has yellow legal notebook, and stylus would go to guy who doesn't even use a notebook, right?
It's really sad that I know you've been sitting there this whole time we've been having this conversation thinking of a way to come up with why you gave me the stylus.
That was a natural transition. I just stumbled in. That's a great pen, by the way, too.
That was. All jokes aside, that was.
You better not touch my pen either.
We'll see. Comes up missing.
When I was writing last night, and I was looking at, I was like, "This is a nice pen, right?"
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and I almost wanted to kind of tuck it away. Like, I felt like the people in my area,
just somebody knows.
Yes, I felt like people were staring. Like,
there's people that can sniff a good pen.
Look at Marcus with that pen over there.
Gonna give me that pen, boy. I'm like, oh, okay.
You gotta pay, buddy.
You gotta give me that pen, buddy. Okay, all right.
But again, Bob Valvano, thank you so much.
No, it's serious. Yeah, all jokes aside, that was cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, okay, so 24-hour show.
Yeah.
And let's just jump into something we discussed. You had a confession. You had a guilty confession. People, we're gonna bring you a few of the interview highlights, what we consider highlights from ACC Media Day. We're going to bring you some discussion from the ACC Media Day. There's always things you have to pick and choose from. But Steve came in here with a...
We have a lot on our mind, though. We can't just come in and play interviews for 2 hours.
Hey, absolutely.
We would love to, but...
And speaking of interviews, guess who we're going to have later on, Steve? We're going to have a person. I've said it before. I may say it as a tease. We're going to have, at the 11 o'clock hour...
Oh, yeah.
The most important person in Louisville basketball for the 2017-2018 season. Repeat.
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock, we're going to have the most important person for the 2017-2018 basketball season. But before we get there, Steve.
There'll be some serious pulling back the curtain there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, before we get, let's go to your confession, Steve.
All right, yeah.
We're ACC Media Day. We're having our little ACC-SEC irritation moments.
Yeah.
And our lack of publicity moments. And who cares if we have our ACC on the same day as theirs? Because I could go either way with that discussion. Yeah, forget them, We'll have ACC Media Day. At the same time, because part of me wants to say this, and I'll just throw this out there as a tease for maybe later on in the show. I don't want, you know how I am. I hate the loser mentality. I hate the guy. I don't hate the guy. I hate the narrative that, oh, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Because that never means it's right.
Right.
That's just what it is. And every single time you say that's just the way it is, and your kids hear that's just the way it is, and those around you hear things like that's just the way it is, it raises a loser mentality. So when you say, oh, SEC, they have three days, so we have to find a new schedule. I'm like, no, we don't. Because you know what happens? All the people who would normally be listening to ACC Media Day say, oh, no, but nothing else is on. Half the time, SEC Media Day gets the attention from the other conferences, right?
Right.
That's why you got to go head to head with them. You know, you have to say, you can't have my ACC fan base. You know, maybe we're going to take a bite out of your SEC fan base instead of just letting you be SEC. We get everybody's attention because everybody's scared to go against us.
Especially when, I mean, now it's really, if you noticed that more the talk is the comparison now is SEC, ACC.
Right.
So much more than Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12. I mean, it's really
more than SEC, SEC.
Yeah, it's kind of became the rivalry. It's kind of became SEC, ACC now, and the ACC is
more than winning more than Big Ten.
Yeah,
more than Big Ten, SEC.
Yeah, I mean,
between Alabama and Ohio State, which is always a those two are probably going to be in it. You know,
yeah.
The rest of the conversation is when you start to have the conversation, is the SEC that good or are they the dominant conference? Yeah. The first conference you start comparing them to is the ACC. Yeah.
I mean, nearly every year, I mean, you've had a team in the playoff every year. Florida State won the last BCS title. Usually you have a Heisman finalist from two of the last five Heisman have been from the ACC.
Indeed.
I mean, it's kind of like when you start to look back. And then the record right now is 19-13 against the SEC since 2013.
I was going to say, well, I mean, last 5 years.
But that's what we're comparing. I mean, we're not saying, you know, looking back, look, sure, the SEC. But as what we're saying is now, it's extreme. And then draft picks. I mean, it is right there. It's right there between the ACC and the SEC. So, I mean, it's a full-blown
argument. Argument at the very, very least.
Yeah.
Okay, so Steve, let's move a little forward. Speaking of your SEC, ACC, there was a problem. There was a confession. 8150, 939 is the number. I probably shouldn't just go straight into confessional mode.
Yeah.
But that's what we do, Steve.
And we see the phone lines. We're going to get there in just a second. Hang with us.
The University of Louisville will go to Indianapolis to take on Purdue.
They will.
In the first week of the season.
I can't wait.
You cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
Steve, you made a confession, Steve. The University of Florida State will be taking, not University of Florida State, Florida State University.
Yeah.
Will be taking on the University of Alabama in the simultaneous week.
Yeah.
A simultaneous day.
Time slot.
Simultaneous time slot. Steve, you said, hey, Marcus. Hey, Marcus. Don't tell anybody.
We're going to need a TV, buddy. I don't know what else to say. But.
That's exactly what he said, people. Steve Rummage tells me we're going to need a TV. It doesn't matter.
If we're going to be in Lucas Oil. I mean,
we can be down on the field.
Yeah.
We can be in the front row. Yeah. It does not matter where we consume the Purdue versus Louisville game.
Yeah.
We're going to need a simultaneous television because we're watching Florida State, Alabama.
Doug Budge, you need to call about those Lucas Oil suites.
No,
right now.
That's very, very serious, Steve. Yeah. Like, let's stop laughing on this show because these are very, very important, serious subjects, people. 38-31-93-9 is the number. 81-50-93-9.
Yeah, I don't know. We have 50, a phone line.
Right, I was going to say 81-50-93-9. Steve just confessed to me that he's going to be more interested in the Louisville, Florida State matchup.
Well, I didn't say
Alabama, Florida State.
Let's clarify. I didn't say I'd be more interested. I'm saying.
No, you said you don't even care about the Purdue game. You said 12 minutes.
We can lose that game for all I care.
12 minutes into the Purdue game, you don't even care. It doesn't affect the conference championship.
This is all a lie. I want to clarify to everyone listening, important, non-important, and in between. Okay, this is all a lie.
Let's just.
Okay. But the football purist in me, I will admit, it's going to have one eye on Florida State, Alabama.
One eye?
I mean,
one and a half.
Depends on what the score is at halftime.
I called you. We doing the chameleon eyes for this game?
Man, I mean, 1-2 in the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
1-2 with us. Whew. With us having you on the schedule.
And we have a dog in the fight. Okay, here's my question for you, because I think I'm in this round. I'll save it for just a second. Then
we gotta jump to these phones.
I know. I don't want to leave.
Steve, take over for a couple seconds.
But I have one of your hypotheticals that you're gonna love, Brian. Who do we got on the phone line? Because I have the screen is for some reason the screen's not working for me.
We got Butch on one.
Butch on one. Butch, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Marcus. Steve, happy weekend to you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm. Steve, I hate to do this, but I'm gonna agree with you though.
Okay, let's do it.
About the ACC and SEC, they've been neck and neck since the playoffs started. I think the third best conference has to be that Big Ten because Ohio State won a championship too.
Well, but, and the Big Ten, can get very top heavy. I mean, I think that's one thing we do agree with, and I think that's why the argument, and you may disagree with me, with the ACC and the SEC right now is a little more legit, because I think you're seeing competition all the way down. I think if you go back and look at the Big Ten versus the SEC record, probably nowhere near as good.
Well, I agree with that too, but I'm gonna tell you this. If you're going to keep one eye on that Florida State and Alabama game, it's going to be just like the USC and Alabama game last year. As far as I'm concerned, Alabama's going to hammer them. It's going to take Florida State a few games to get rolling, but Alabama's on a mission this year.
See, Butch, man, I appreciate the call. If you're wondering the hiatus, Marcus had to take a phone call.
Yeah.
Kind of important. So
it's all good.
He's out. So me and Brian here for a while. Now, Brian, that is a big question going into that game, because Alabama has kind of busted. I mean, seriously, their opener here recently, you say, oh, this is going to be great. And then it's kind of been just a blowout. I don't think it's the same this year. I think this Florida State team is like seriously legit.
Oh, yeah. I think that Florida State is the team that everybody's chasing in the ACC. But
without a doubt.
I do like the opening day matchups that you're talking about. And actually, the playoff commissioner, or the commissioner of the playoff, is addressed that with our very own Drew Diener earlier today. And he kind of was talking about, because of the playoff system and the emphasis on big games, that teams are more inclined to schedule those big games.
Yeah.
So it makes the regular season even more exciting, because we get more big time games because those players, the teams want to face each other.
It don't kill you.
Yeah,
exactly. That's kind of the thing, and that's where I'm going with that, and that's where I go with this hypothetical. And I'm going to want some people. Usually Marcus does the hypothetical, but I'm going to need some text on this. I'm going to need some phone calls. 8150939 3831939. But here's my thing, Marcus. If Florida State, Marcus is back, by the way. He had to take a phone call. It's an important phone call. Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. So,
listen, hope the phone call is good.
When the money calls, your boy got to answer.
We got to, and I'm perfectly okay with
you're
that.
Right, you're right.
I am going to be a part of that. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Here's my thing. If Florida State wins, by the way, Butch called and basically admitted that, of course, we're right. The ACC's right there with the SEC.
Butch admitted that?
That's what else is he going to do?
On air?
Yes, he did.
Live?
That was good. Yeah, so you have to go back and listen
to
Brian, the
podcast. Hey, Brian, make sure. Hey, Butch. There are some Papa John's gift cards in my box. You come by the studio, they're in there waiting on you.
And we're getting a lot of people on the text line saying they're going to be, Steve and Marcus are right, we need to watch both games. It's going to be more drunk.
Okay, what's the guilt level?
Well, I don't
think. Listen, Coach Petrino, Rocco, like, cover your ears for a second. I'm so interested in this Florida State Alabama. Our future, I said it before I took the money call. Our future is going to depend on the success of Florida State.
Well, that's my big question here. Because for Florida State, if Alabama wins, I love it, dude. If Alabama wins, and of course we're talking all this crap right now, and when it gets game day, I'm going to be like, I just want to see Lamar Jackson, this Louisville team play.
I know.
And I'm so
glad you're acknowledging
in
that too.
But if Bama wins, Louisville Clemson's probably game day, week 3. But I'm going to admit, I'll give up game day. I think I'm pulling for Florida State to win that game.
To have an undefeated matchup in Doak Walker's
thing. Because if Florida State beats Bama and then beats Miami week 3, which I think they probably will, they got nothing till Louisville. And if Louisville beats Purdue, beats UNC, and beats Clemson like
a drum,
like they're going to, I've done better than just saying random things and realizing, oh, that had a bad meaning, so I better not say that. So I did good. I paused there.
Right.
Thank you for the help. You're talking Louisville, Florida State could – it's so realistic that Louisville, Florida State could be undefeated, number one versus number two or number three. In Doak, I'm pulling – I know it's going to cost me game day. Because if Florida State and Miami are undefeated,
I don't know if people need to hear that more slowly and clearly – or more excited and with more energy, Steve. You are in a position with two games that, again, being the University of Louisville with Lamar Jackson and a good, good, really, really good football team with number one level position players at quarterback, wide receiver, running back, linebacker. Think you have five positions that you could have the most intriguing draft picks alone. Yeah. Not just if your team is, because you know how sometimes like these some of these players are so good and so exciting, Steve, that even if you don't perform as well, these are the kind of players that are going to bring people to the TV regardless.
And for, I mean, and Florida State's got a kid. I know they lost Dalvin Cook, but they got a kid, Cam Akers, at running back that's going to be blow-away kid. I'm telling you,
don't start bringing up new running backs.
I'm telling you.
We were terrorized by your boy for 3 years.
I'm giving up game day. Even though, and let me say this real quick before we go to Chad. Let me say this. Even if Florida State Miami is undefeated, I still am going to argue that week that Louisville Clemson, the defending national champion, that's if Clemson beats Auburn. Clemson suck. Beat Auburn.
Don't suck.
I mean, get your, you know, get what's coming to you in week three. Beat Auburn.
But you cannot lose Clemson, so you're going to be actively rooting for Clemson.
Oh, God.
Yes. They're going to get smashed.
They're gonna get beat by Auburn.
They're gonna get the doors blown off of them.
They're gonna get.
Don't you know that?
Yes.
That's good. Man, go to the phone line. I know.
Yeah. Come on, Chad. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? Real quick, before I talk about the Louisville Purdue game, it is in Lucas Oil. I don't know if you all went to the Elite Eight Sweet 16 games a couple years ago. They got really good Wi-Fi, so watch ESPN on your phone. It'll be available, and it's. It's good there. That they have better Wi-Fi than anywhere I've ever been.
That's huge news. That's big news. Yeah. So we needed that. Thank you.
So as far as the Louisville, I wish you guys just kind of stole my thunder. I've been saying this for a while. First of all, we're going to be favored in my opinion. I think we'll be favored over Clemson. I think we'll be favored in 11 of the 12 games, and I think we're undefeated going into Florida State. Now, the only thing that concerns me about that Florida State game is if you're Jimbo Fisher, he's going to hit that whole week. He is literally going to say they beat your butts by 40 and could have beat you by 100. And I wonder if that's going to be a motivation for that team to try to show up and stop Lamar. But I really, really do think that we'll be undefeated going into that game.
Yeah.
And we're a favorite in 11 of the 12 games. Sorry, Kentucky, but it's going to be that's the way. It's
we're going to wipe.
Not going to be favored.
Chad, we're going to wipe. Appreciate the call. We're going to wipe the floor with Kentucky.
And see, normally I don't do that. Normally I am leading up to the game. I am fake concerned guy. I'm not fake concerned.
Yeah.
I'm real concerned, and I don't do the look past thing. You know, especially with rivals. But here's the thing, and Chad, I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
I hear you, Chad. You have our studio bugged, Chad. If you're like us and those listeners of 93.9, you may have heard Drew Diener this morning replay an interview with Francois, with DeAndre Francois, right? Diener asked the magic question.
Yeah.
Do you want some get back? Do you have the revenge factor going on, right? And you know that this wouldn't be bulletin board material for DeAndre Francois to be like, yeah, we probably owe them a little something, you know. None of that, Steve. You brought it to my attention once it came on my radar. I said, you know what, Steve? I don't like the way he sounded.
Yeah,
their quarterback sounded like a guy who's you know what? They just caught us on a bad day.
Yeah,
they just kind of how we would think of the Kentucky situation,
right?
But we didn't get our doors blown off by Kentucky,
right?
So knowing next year, like, listen, we didn't recover from the Houston game well, got busted by Kentucky. I mean, you can even say, I could see a player on Louisville just saying, yeah, we got busted.
Yeah.
Even though you barely lost, you know?
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Right?
If you barely lost to a bad team, you got busted.
You got busted.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Right.
I agree.
Florida State, you got busted,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got...
Like, historically.
Yes.
Big.
Right? So, anybody with that low of a tone, and I get you, you're listening, he sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
No, I agree. That's what I was saying. We were talking about this.
Yeah, morning. Lamar Jackson sounds like a nice guy, but there's nothing about him that doesn't say, I'm going to dog you
out. Well, Lamar's made comments like that before. Lamar's made comments that has been like, you know, yeah, we know. I mean, you know, remember. And when right. I heard Francois.
There's a way to do it without bulletin board material.
Yeah, and when I heard Francois say, I mean, no, we don't really feel like we owe him one. I was like, y'all better hope that game ain't two undefeateds.
You better hope.
Because Louisville does have a chip on their shoulder. And if you don't, if Florida State comes into that game saying, we've beat Bama, we beat Miami, where
it'll be the revenge.
I'm telling you, watch out for it. We got a lot of stuff on the text.
But listen, we'll catch up with that. We'll take a quick commercial break. We got to keep everything on schedule. Midday with Marcus Maben. Happy belated birthday, Dawn. 8150, 939 is the number on 939 Seville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. As I told you earlier, people, it's a beautiful Friday. Normally, these Fridays are taken advantage of by us in particular. We get the privilege to do shows from our favorite restaurant with the sports theme, 502 Cafe. Unfortunately, we were unable to broadcast. A lot of people, you know, doing a lot of things, and we were just unable to broadcast from 502 Cafe. But we're headed to 502 Cafe as soon as the show's over. I don't know what's on the menu today. I don't know. Actually, I do know the specials. I don't have them right in front of me, but I will give you the specials. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Friday. I'm allowed to when I hit 502 Cafe, Steve.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it represents like it's like the finish line for the week.
It is.
It's really, I miss it.
Yeah.
They should put a yellow ribbon right in front of the door of 502 Cafe. And after anytime somebody comes through the door, they should be able to hold up their arms and break through the ribbon, because it's like the finish line of your week. 502 Cafe finish line.
It's that time.
That should be the Friday, because I'm telling you, people, as soon as you cross those doors, you're going to smile. You're going to smell the food. Your drinks are going to be cold. You're going to enjoy yourself. And people, I never add this to the conversation. You do know. They cater your events. Specialty catered events from 502 Cafe. Food truck, cater events, all are perfect people. Our very own Drew Diener was able to get the ACC commissioner to the table. We have to take that interview. Steve?
Yeah. I'd say we do. And Brian, don't forget to turn down that mix minus there so we don't hear ourselves on echo. There we go. As we are out here at ACC Media Days, at ACC Kickoff, I should say. I better call it the right thing if I've got the commissioner over here with us. I better not call it Media Days when it's called Kickoff. Mr. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you on here with us. I mean, you had an opportunity yesterday to tout the league's accomplishments, particularly in football. For our audience, I want you to tell that story that Dabo Swinney told you, that you reiterated where you had the meeting with the coaches.
Yeah.
And tell our audience that story, if you don't mind.
Well, this was probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, at our annual spring meeting in Amelia Island. And I was with our football coaches and was talking with them about dissolving the BCS and going to the college football playoff format. And we were talking about the league's future in football and the things that we needed to do to get better and to compete on a national scale. And I was talking about playing strong non-conference schedules, winning our fair share of those games, recruiting at the highest level, thinking big in terms of who we are as a football league, and that This new playoff system should give us an opportunity to do things as a league and win national championships on the field. And then I thought it would be, you know, the right system for us. Mm-hmm. And Dabo, we had a couple of coaches at the time that, quite honestly, I think weren't so sure that we could compete in that type of system and format.
Why not?
And Dabo. Well, I'm not sure. I don't relate to that kind of thinking.
So right, I can't really
can't really tell you that. But and Dabo, you know, jumped into the conversation and said, look, guys, the commissioner's totally right. You got to if we're going to – you know, we've got to play the right people. We've got to beat the right people. We got to win games. We've got to promote our league, and we've got to go recruit the best players. And a playoff does give us that opportunity. And if you don't think your program or our league is good enough to be consistently in the playoff, that's a real problem. And he was just really, really supportive. Reiterated kind of everything that had been said, but when it comes from
the head coach of Clemson,
I think people really took notice at that point in time, you know, because one of your peers stands up and says, I certainly think we can do that, and this is what we're going to be doing at Clemson. You kind of think, well, I guess we better start thinking the same way and doing the same things. And, you know, it's just at a point in our league's history that it needed to be said. And while they were hearing it from the league office, it's that much better when it comes from one of your prominent coaches within the league. And obviously he's backed it up.
Absolutely.
And as a number of our other programs have.
What has Louisville brought to the league? Obviously that's where we're from. So in your mind, what you thought they were going to bring is one thing. What have they brought here now, getting ready to start the fourth season?
Well, I think they brought a superb athletic program. I think we knew that we were getting an excellent program. Love Louisville and the college market that's there. It's such a strong market for college athletics the ACC now gets to benefit from that. Tom Jurich does a phenomenal job with that program. I think people in the ACC were well aware of the longtime quality of the basketball program. I don't think they were as aware as to how good the football program is, and I certainly don't think they were as aware as to how good the total program is in the Olympic sports. The facilities are outstanding. I think that's shocked some people in the ACC that hadn't been there. Great fan base. I think it's an excellent marriage. I think it's benefited the Atlantic Coast Conference without question, and I think it's benefited the University of Louisville tremendously also.
To hear you.
Nope, sorry. Yep. Well, may have it. There you go. Well, Marcus, we're shut out of this interview. Oh, no, you got to turn it on, brother. There we go.
All right. I think it might come as a surprise to some people from the outside to hear that one of your jobs is to not just oversee coaches and football and how it's going, but to actively exhort them, hey, y'all got to get better. I mean, is that something you're kind of doing on a regular basis? Is it monitoring these things and saying, hey, we're not happy with this? Or is that just because football and basketball are so big and such a big part of what drives these conferences?
Well, I think in this position you have to have people collectively have the mindset of reaching their full potential. You know, it's a little bit like coaching a team, I guess. And this league has enormous potential. And you know, there's certain things we have to do strategically, and have had to do over the years, to get to the point that we are today, which is probably a point where this league is as strong as it's ever been in its history. competitively and from a business standpoint and moving forward. That's why our league, and this predates Louisville, obviously, but back in the early 2000s, we made a determination that if we were going to continue to be one of the most prominent conferences in the country and improve our football as well as our markets and therefore our business opportunities from a television standpoint, we had to get better in football because football was going to drive the business side of things more and more. We had to expand our footprint, which we have done significantly. We now have the largest footprint of any conference in the country, the greatest population base of any conference in the country within that footprint, which translates to helping us tremendously from a television standpoint. When we've got universities all in one time zone, I'm pleased to say.
We're one of the few
that can say that.
I hadn't thought of that one.
Even though it's the largest geographic footprint, it's all in one time zone. Up and down the eastern seaboard and then slightly into the Midwest. So we've put ourselves in a position with all of that to be stronger than we've ever been. And I think we have reached that, but I think we can keep going. You look at last year football-wise with Lamar winning the Heisman Trophy, having the national champion, having the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy, winning. We had 11 teams go to bowl games, and all 11 of them finished the year with winning records. We were 10-4 against the SEC last year. So we're doing the things that you need to be doing, and we've won 5 straight Orange Bowl championships. So there's a lot of good there now, and so we've built something really special. Now we've got to work at maintaining it and making it even better.
Commissioner John Swofford with us here on 93.9 The Ville. I know that the TV network is always a big topic of conversation. You've got to negotiate privately to do that. But are the dollars going to be there in 2 years that have been there with the other leagues? And TV's changing so much, I guess, is my point with this. Can you get to the level that the leagues you're competing against, the SEC and the Big Ten, in this environment, can those dollars be equivalent to what they've gotten?
Well, we think so, and our partners at ESPN think so, that they are at least in a similar vein. It is a changing world, and that's why I feel so good about being with ESPN, because ESPN is what it is for a good reason. They're progressive. They know what they're doing. They know how to adapt to a changing environment. So they're the best partner we could possibly have. And the business structure of the ACC channel will be basically and fundamentally identical to the SEC business channel. Different ways to do a channel. The SEC launch was the most successful there's been. The Big Ten launch was very difficult for a few years, didn't do very well for a few years, but now is successful. The Pac-12 has a channel with no partner, and it's really struggling. We all try to learn from those other approaches to it, and we felt like the absolute best approach for us was to partner with ESPN in that fashion. So we're very bullish about the channel, what it can mean to us revenue-wise, as well as exposure-wise, because there's nothing like having a 24/7 channel that is devoted to nothing but your own conference. Mm-hmm. That's quite a thing for our fans.
I can't imagine either side would want a long, huge long-term deal in a negotiation because it's changing so much. How long of a deal can you do with them? I mean, because both sides have to understand the changing environment. But I mean, by the time 2 years from now gets around, who knows what the environment will be?
Yeah. Well, our deal is long. It runs through 2035-36.
Oh, I just mean with the ACC
and,
now.
It's there too. But our arrangement with ESPN is through 2035-36. If the change is so great during that period of time, we're confident that with our partner, we can adjust to those changes in whatever way is needed. That's you know, that was sort of my point in terms of how bullish we are about partnering with ESPN.
Gotcha.
You mentioned in your comments yesterday, in your opening statement, that after a kind of a long period above upheaval, you add Syracuse, Pittsburgh, a couple years later, you add Louisville, everything seems to have settled down, and you seemed to welcome that. Like, what we really need now is a period of things kind of being the same in the run-up to launching a network. I mean, is that the feedback you get? Like, let's leave this the same now so we can work on building this up?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think our membership is extraordinarily stable. I wouldn't anticipate any changes from our standpoint, certainly within the next couple of years, and maybe not for a long time. The one thing that could stimulate some change for us is our Notre Dame arrangement. If Notre Dame decided to join a conference in football, contractually, that has to be the Atlantic Coast Conference. And if they came in football, we would readily have that conversation with Notre Dame and then may well add a 16th school so that we have even divisions in football. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate that happening, but that's the one thing that could happen that would trigger, you know, some change in our membership. But that would be a good change.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be anything but positives related to that. But we're very stable for a long time now because all of our schools have signed the grant of rights through 2035-36. We're partners with ESPN through that period of time. So short of Notre Dame joining in football, I would not anticipate any change in this league for a good while to come. And I really do welcome the stabilization of the college athletic landscape, at least in our league. And I think it'll be that way in most leagues for a while. You get into the mid-20s and some TV contracts run out, maybe there'll be some significant change at that point in time. But I wouldn't anticipate that affecting the ACC much.
Talking with John Swofford, commissioner of the ACC here on 93.9 The Ville, that decision, should Notre Dame make it? I mean, if they express to you, hey, we'd like to do this, I mean, is it automatic or is it just automatic, like this is something we would want to do if they did? Or do you guys have to decide, hey, you know what, we don't want to expand any further? Or if they come to you and say, we want to do this, you go, yeah, we're going to do this.
Well, we'd have to have the conversation within the league. I think I know what the answer would be,
Yeah.
And I think all your listeners know what the answer would be.
Well, the weird thing for Louisville, hey, jump in here, Louisville is going to play Notre Dame more now in the current arrangement than if they went to the other division. I'm sort of selfishly, as a Louisville fan, I know we'd see them more in the current setup with the rotation than if they were in the Coastal Division.
Yeah, if they were to join and be a Coastal.
I mean, I'm kind of like, this is pretty good over here from our standpoint. Do whatever they want.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that.
You're paying attention.
I thought about this.
I'm impressed with that.
What's been the your feedback so far from all the members about getting Notre Dame rotating on and off the schedule with their arrangement the way it is right now?
It's been very good. The whole Notre Dame arrangement has been a win-win. You know, it's been good for Notre Dame, and they would readily tell you that, I think. And it's been very good for the ACC as well. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
You know, there's obviously, and Louisville, I know you can't get into specifics, but does Louisville keep you informed on their appeal? Did you offer any advice to their appeal to the NCAA at all, you know, with regard to the Committee on Infractions ruling?
Well, some, and certainly they've kept us informed. And I think the university has done all the right things once the problem surfaced. I think they've handled it well, and hopefully they'll have some success with the appeal, and hopefully it'll be over with. I'm one of these guys that when you always hope there are no NCAA issues. When there are issues from a conference standpoint, I like to see our schools find out the truth, address it, correct it, expedite the process as much as possible with the NCAA and get it behind them. And I think Louisville has done that in every instance.
That's been their message from the start. They want to find the truth, not to battle along the way,
right?
But to do that, you know, it seems to me.
Yeah. No, I've been very impressed with how the university has dealt with the problem. You wish the problem didn't happen. That has no place in college athletics, obviously. But once it did happen, I think the university has dealt very forthrightly with it and very expediently with it. And the appeal is part of the process that's open to any institution. And yeah, I'm certainly supportive of that appeal, and we'll just have to see whether the appeal bears fruit or not.
Now, yesterday you were touting Clemson's tough road to the national title and their tough home conference games being the challenge that they went, you know, their most challenging games. And you said they had these two most challenging games, and I'm thinking we're going to hear the Louisville name in here. You had NC State and Pitt. That Louisville game went down to the last play. You left us out of that one.
I shouldn't have.
Have you gotten you to Derby? Have you been to Derby?
I have.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I was there a few years ago and had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
I was there for two whole days.
Well, that's the right 2 days to be in town.
That's right. Exactly.
It was absolutely fabulous.
That's for sure. Well, hey, Commissioner Swapp, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping on by. I'm telling you, for the fans of Louisville, being in the ACC is like finally people have been to the wilderness of all the conference they've been in over the years. That I'm telling you, people in the city are over the moon about the ACC.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and that love goes both ways, believe me, really does.
All right, thanks so much, Commissioner John Swofford, here with us this morning live at ACC kickoff, and we will roll along here on 93rd of the Bill with Middays with Marcus Maben here moving out.